This story has changed the way that I look at new ideas. This guy, his name is Ignaz Semmelweis. And he noticed in 1844 that the mortality rate in childbirth was worse for doctors in training than it was for midwives. And so he did some investigation, and here's the problem. He said that the doctors in training would go from dissecting cadavers directly to delivering babies. And he had the idea that they needed to wash their hands in a chlorine lime solution. And so he convinced some people in this hospital to give that a try. And they did that. And when they did that, the mortality rate went from 18.27% to 1.27%. And you would think that Dr. Semmelweis would be lauded as a hero. He was not. He was criticized. And they said it was time to stop the nonsense about this chlorine hand wash. And years of controversy undermined his spirit, and he suffered bouts of severe depression. And then he was tricked by friends to go to this insane asylum. And they kept him. And he fought to leave, and the guards beat him, and he was injured. And so 2 weeks later, truth is stranger than fiction. 2 weeks later, he died because of an infection in his injury from the same infection he was trying to keep from happening in these new mothers. Same infection. Now, years later, they realized he was right. And his efforts have saved millions of lives. But nobody, or very few people at that time, believed Dr. Semmelweis. Let me make this personal. I remember during COVID, this is no big deal. So what? There are 10 cases over there. It is not going to spread. And see how right I was? It's not going to be a big deal, right? On March 3rd, there were 60 cases that they knew about in the United States in 2020. March 3rd, 2020. And I said, it's not going to come here. Little did I know, early in the morning of March 3rd, 2020, I had a breakfast meeting. And at that meeting, I was infected with the COVID-19 virus. And 2 weeks later, I felt the effects of that. And the whole time, I'm saying, it's not going to spread. And I had it. What is going on in us? Why are we like that? Sometimes we find it so hard to believe things that go against the way that we think. We get entrenched in one way of thinking, and we dig our heels in and don't change. Have you been there? Have you done that? Have you seen that happening in your life? I have. And so this morning, we're going to unwrap that. What is that? Why are we like that? That's what we're going to find out this morning. And we're going to continue on in our walk through the book of John. John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, and that's referring back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, he created everything. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Are you kidding me? The world didn't recognize him? How is that possible? It goes on. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of a natural descent or of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. John wrote, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. How in the world is that possible? He created everything, and people, a part of his creation, people that he created are going, yeah, we don't recognize him. He left his fingerprints all over creation, and no one recognized him. Think about it this way. Are you familiar with the name of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer? Did Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, did they have an awareness of Mark Twain? How would they know there was a Mark Twain? Can you imagine a conversation between Tom and Huck? And Tom would say, well, there is a Mark Twain. And Huck would say, well, have you ever seen Twain? No, but there's evidence all over this book. And then Huck would say, well, why can't we see him? And Tom would say, he exists outside the realm of this book. And then Huck would reply, but if we wanted to know who he is, then he should have made himself known. And Tom said, well, he did. He's all through this book. As you notice, his fingerprints are all the way through this book. Doesn't that sound exactly like the struggle we have? Well, if God is really exists, why can't we see him? Why isn't he more obvious? He is. He is, just like Tom and Huck struggle to understand the reality of Mark Twain, or Samuel Langhorne Clemens, or however you want to call him. It's our struggle with God Almighty. How do we know he exists? He wrote the book that we're in. He created everything. That's our struggle, too, as we walk with God. The issue the world had is that the world didn't recognize Jesus. The world didn't recognize Jesus. They saw him, but they didn't realize who he was. But that was the world. Surely, his people would know who he is, right? His own people would realize who he is. John wrote, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It was repeated again. More specifically, this time, his own, meaning his own people, the Jews. And the crazy thing is, here's what's absolutely crazy, is that every single Jew, each one, was looking for the Messiah. Where's the Messiah? Where's the Messiah? Where's the Messiah? Is he the Messiah? They were all the time, that was the question running in the back of every Jew's mind. Is he the Messiah? Could he be the Messiah? Is that the Messiah? Always running in their heads. And he showed up and they missed him. In fact, the experts of the law that knew the best, that knew the scriptures, the experts in the law that were looking for him, because they had such a strong preconceived idea of what he would look like. He's going to do this. We know that when the Messiah shows up, he's going to do things the way I think he should do them. And they were so certain in how he would behave that when he showed up, they killed him. Are you kidding me? The Jews didn't receive Jesus. The Jews didn't receive Jesus. That's crazy. That's like Michael Jordan going back to where he grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina. And they just ignore him. Would that happen? Who's a hometown hero you know from this area? He comes back to this area and everybody just ignores him. That wouldn't happen. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. They didn't receive him. What's my favorite question? Why? Why? Why is that an issue? I wrestled with it. Why is that? And it's easy. Here's the tendency. Those people back there were just stupid, right? That's the wrong question. You know what the right question is? Why am I like that? Why do I do that? Why don't I believe like I should? Why do I struggle? What is it? That's the question. Here's the critical issue. The critical issue is this. The hurdle to believe. There is a hurdle that we have to encounter. The hurdle to believe. So, what is a hurdle? Here's a hurdle. See it? All right, there's three parts to it. Here's the first, the second, see the other stand, and then the third part is the top. Three parts of the hurdle. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to take a look. There's three parts to the hurdle to believe. And that's what we're going to take a look at. The first part, faith isn't natural. Faith isn't natural. So we need to learn to believe. Sight is natural. Sight is natural. Faith isn't. Faith, what is it? It's being certain of what we do not see. Do you see it? This place, as we gather together, there are angels here. I believe that. Do any of you see them? No, but they're here. God, by his presence, is here. Jesus said this very clearly, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Let's see, one, two, three. Yeah, okay. There am I myself. He's here. Do we see him? No. Do we believe he's here? Absolutely. That's hard. Faith isn't natural. It does. You have to learn to develop faith. Jesus, when he was here on earth, was talking to a father of a boy who was possessed by an evil spirit. And the father made a request of Jesus. He said, "Help us if you can." And we get to see Jesus when he's kind of annoyed. And he was annoyed. Notice what he said, Mark 9:23. "What do you mean, if I can?" He's talking to God. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." And the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Yes. How many of you would say, that's me? I do believe, but I struggle with some I need to grow in that. And God will help you grow in that. If you say, God, help me to grow in faith, He will do that. But it will be interesting. It won't be like, boom. I had cataract surgery last fall, and then I got new glasses to go along with that. And immediately I could see better. Boom. Whoa. Cool. That's not the way it is with faith. It's a process of learning to grow in faith. And so if you say, God, I want to grow in faith, you're going to be confused. There will be periods of confusion and frustration. Why? Because He's helping you grow in faith to believe that God is working in this situation. And the idea is, when you're in the middle of confusion and you keep walking and you go, okay, I'm confused, but God, I'm just obeying God. I don't know all the details. I'm just walking by faith. You build faith in that process. And God will help you grow. It's not going to be simple. It's not going to be a light bulb going on. But it's going to be a process. And there's going to be big steps and little steps. And as you take all of those steps, you will grow in faith. God will help you in that confusion. Then after He was resurrected, Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with some disciples, but they didn't recognize Him. And He had this conversation. He was talking to them. Notice what it says in Luke 24, 25. Then Jesus said to them, again, we're catching Jesus when He's annoyed. You foolish people, you find it hard to believe. Literally, the term, it means slow of heart. You're slow of heart. You find it hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted the Messiah would have to suffer these things before entering His glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. They had read the scriptures before. Some of them had memorized those scriptures, but they missed the point. What's the problem? Stubbornness. How do you overcome that? Read God's word with an open heart. See, the tendency is I have my agenda and I know what God's going to do. When God shows up, He's going to do A, B, C, and then, you know, 1, 2, 3, and it's going to work like this. And it's no. That's not how we're to read Scripture. Read God's word with an open heart. We tend to highlight the stuff we like and skip over the stuff we don't like. And say, well, I don't really understand that yet, because we don't want to obey it. And there's a point when you read Scripture. I learned this prayer from a friend of mine. He prayed this before you read God's word. Father, where you lead us, where you lead me, I will follow. What you feed me, I will swallow. Just say, God, talk to me, help me understand. And whatever you teach me, I'm going to do that. After Lazarus was raised from the dead, the ruling body of Jews had a meeting. It's recorded in John 11, 47. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing, they ask. Here, this man, Jesus, is performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. What's the issue there? Our place. What was he talking about? Our role, our position. The issue is pride. And what do? You give up control. They were going to lose their position in that culture. They were going to lose their authority. They were going to lose their place. We don't like to give up control. Once people drink from the well of control, They keep going back for more. They love that sweet elixir of control. But as we look at Jesus, we look at his example, we see it clearly in Philippians 2. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself what? Nothing. And he served. So the issue is pride, and we give up our control. So what does it sound like when you have that kind of pride? Well, when God shows up, he's going to do things this way. And you look for situations where God works and you're comfortable. And you're comfortable. Oh, yes. And you want to be comfortable. Friends, when God shows up and does what he wants to do, we're going to all be uncomfortable because we don't know what's going to happen next. It's not going to be comfortable. It'll be like, oh my goodness. God's going to do that. God's going to do a work. And we just need to say at the beginning, we give up control. God, you're in charge. And that makes all the difference in the world. Notice how faith and authority work together. In Matthew 8:5, Jesus had an interaction with a Roman officer. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Notice this. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. Notice what the Roman officer said. He said, I am under authority of my superior officers. Then I have authority. Being under authority means you have authority. Authority isn't an inside job. You don't say, you know what? Today, I am going to work and I am going to have authority. If you do that and you're not the boss, you're going to have unemployment. That doesn't. Having authority is not an inside job. Authority is an above job. Here's what the Roman officer was saying. Jesus, I see that you are under the authority of your heavenly Father. And because you are under his authority, you have authority. And you can simply say it and it will happen. He noticed that relationship. When the Roman officer was doing things under the authority of the Roman government, he had authority. And so we need to come under God's authority. When you're under authority, you have authority. Jesus surrendered to the Father's will. You have issues in life that are kicking your behind. You got issues like that in your life, and you go, why am I struggling with that? Like over and over and over again, what we need to do is come under God's authority. And then we have power. Then we have authority to deal with those issues. When we skip around the outside of God's authority and don't fully come under God's authority, we don't have that power. And so we need to surrender to believe. Jesus surrendered to the Father's will. Give up trying to be in charge. Realize that faith isn't natural. It's a challenge. It's an area where we all grow. So how do you get over that hurdle? How do we get over the hurdle? Jump. We should have jump practice right now, okay? How high? No, jump. That's here. Here's the bottom line. Take the leap of faith. There's a point that, yes, there is a hurdle. And we have to jump that hurdle. And the first hurdle we can get over, and God will have more hurdles down the road. And as we grow in faith, we'll learn to jump. But we've got to receive what God has for us. Saying, oh yeah, you know, I believe that's true. It's not just the head knowledge, it's a heart issue. Rick, can you come and help me? I promise I won't hurt you. That's what you get for sitting in the front.
Yeah. Don't make that mistake.
So, Rick, I'm going to give you this pen. Do you believe me?
Sure.
Okay. See, Rick believes me. Is it yours?
No, not yet.
Huh. It's not his. I told him, right? And he believes. What do you have to do?
Take it.
Yeah. That's it. You just have to receive it. Believing is good. Believing is necessary, but you've got to receive it. Enjoy the pen. Thank you. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? You have to receive. Yes, I believe. Make it real and receive the gift that God has for you. Would you stand with me as we go to prayer this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just talk to you. How many of you would say right now you're stuck at a hurdle and you need to take a leap of faith over it right now? And here's what you can pray right now. Just say, God, I'm sorry, I've been barking up the wrong tree. I turn to you now. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again to give me power. I receive Jesus as my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. If you prayed that with me this morning, then I ask you to fill out a connection card. And just at the bottom of that, there's four letters. Just circle the B and said, I believe today, because I want to pray for you. But some of you this morning, you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. But like that father, I say, help me overcome my unbelief. If that's you, just slip up your hand and I'll pray for you. Just say, I'm struggling to believe God can work in my life. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you paved the way. Thank you that you sent Jesus. Thank you that he died for our sins so that we're clean. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give us power. Help us to walk in faith, taking leaps of faith every single day. When we face a challenge that you've allowed to come in our way, Lord, we commit to being obedient to take that step of faith. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, but more than that, thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.